we left off yesterday, we were discussing the parameters of the prohibition of Dvarim Shebichsav, Yetar Rasha Laman V'Alpeh, and we saw that Tosus and Tamura had a fascinating limitation to this prohibition. Tosus claimed that the Yisra is only violated when you Motzi Achem Ridei Chavosim. If your goal is to say Psukim to assist somebody else to fulfill their obligation, then and only then is there a problem. If you want to say Shema for yourself, today, say whatever you want, as long as you're saying it in a private setting. So we weren't quite sure what the lumdus of that was. So we saw that there was some Rishonim who quoted that idea of Tosus and connected it to the prohibition mid the Rabbanan. That was the Sefer Yoreim who said, well, the whole reason for the Yisra in the first place was lest people get mixed up and confused and think that there's no real written text there. So that makes sense. If there's nobody else around, I'm doing it in the privacy of my own home, so then why should there be any prohibition? But we thought that maybe we could develop a little bit more, almost like a lumdashup shot, as to why there's a difference between being Motzi Achem or not. So we introduced the Rambam in his Akdama to Mishneh Torah, but the Rambam tells us that for the corresponding Yisr of the fact that you're not allowed to write down Torah Shebaal Peh, so the Rambam writes, it's not true. It's not that you're not allowed to write down Torah Shebaal Peh. All it means is that you're not allowed to teach Torah Shebaal Peh from a written text. Did they practically write Torah Shebaal Peh throughout the years? Of course they did, says the Rambam. Every generation, everybody wrote down whatever they had to remember on a personal level. But to be most of the Torah to Achirim, therein lies the problem. So what is the Rambam telling us? The Rambam is basically telling us that the Isser of Torah Shebaal Peh being Bichsav, so that's an Isser, not so much in terms of a private learning, but that's in terms of a transmission of Torah. There's a certain tzura, there's a certain format that the transmission of Torah is supposed to take. Moshe kibbutz Torah Mesinai, Moshe Benu received the Torah from Arsina, Masal Yeshua, Shulz came, etc. Every generation is supposed to be a Mesiris HaTorah from generation to generation. So that Mesiris HaTorah has to mimic what the original Mesiris HaTorah was. We're supposed to relive every generation and supposed to present the Torah to our children, to our Talmidim, the same way we received it from the previous generation. What does that mean exactly? So that means is that there were two Torahs that were given, and each one was presented to Moshe Rabbeinu differently. The Torah Shebichsav was given as a written text, and the Torah Shebaal-Peh was given orally. So too, when we present the Torah to the next generation, we have to present the Torah Shebichsav, Bichsav, we have to present the Torah Shebaal Peh, Baal Peh, and we're not supposed to mix and match the two. So therefore, the Rambam says, you want to learn by yourself and write down your own Zichron HaShmuos and keep notes for yourself and Chaz yourself, do whatever you want, that's fine. But you want to start teaching to Talmidim? That's a different moment. To teach over to the Talmidim, to tell the next generation, that has to be Torah Shebaal Peh, has to remain in the purest form of Torah Shebaal Peh. It's a nebuch. We live in a world post Rabbi Danasi that it became impossible. No one was able to do this anymore. So nebuch, eis lasas, Hashem eferes osecha. So Chazal said we have some kind of a system built in that to avoid shichas haTorah, to avoid the more serious consequence of forgetting the Torah, so the it becomes permissible to write down even Torah Shebaal Peh. But that's not the way it's supposed to be. The correct way of transmitting the Mesorah is supposed to be Torah Shebaal Peh should remain Baal Peh. So just as this prohibition of Baal Peh, the Chsav, only applies when there's a Mesiris HaTorah L'Acherim, maybe that's the same idea here also, by Torah Shebichsav Baal Peh. Namely, you want to sit in the privacy of your own home and say Psukim from Chumash Baal Peh? Because then, what's the problem? There's no issue of Talmud Torah, whether you're doing Chsav Baal Peh, Baal Peh, Chsav, that's not the problem. But rather the problem is that when you're giving the Torah to others, so what does it mean to give the Torah to others? How do you give the Torah Shebichsav to others? When you read the psukim to be motzi achirim, when I'm sharing that Torah with others, when I'm being motzi in a pasuk, that's like a mesiris haTorah. That's like the transmission of the Torah, the hotzi arab yudechavasim. So when you do that, then you have to be careful. Just as the Rambam says that care only has to be taken when there are others involved, because that's mesiris haTorah, so to Torah Shebichsav is only called a mesiris haTorah when there are others around. If you're doing it in the privacy of your own home, then you can do whatever you want. So maybe that's the lumdus in the Tosfos and Tamura. So again, we know for a fact that Tosfos and Tamura permitted the saying of Shema on your own. You could say the Pashta Kabbanis on your own. Privacy of your own home, even if you're doing it in shul, you're not talking to anybody, you're talking to yourself, that's okay. We're not sure why that distinction is true. So either it's true based on a din derabanan that the whole issue was because people were going to make mistakes and get confused, or maybe it's based on a svar deraisa that calls man that it's not a mesiris Torah l'achirim, that's not considered to be a problem. But the truth is that not everybody bought into this Tosfos. There are other Rishonim who give other answers, other reasons to explain this phenomenon that people say Psukim Yapet. At the end of the day, everybody says Shema Yapet. At the end of the day, everybody says Brichas Kohanim, Mulek Kohanim, Duchen Yapet. At the end of the day, we all say, as Yosha, people say a lot of things about Yapet. but we're not quite sure what the heter is based on. So Tosus was guessing. Tosus gave us one possibility, but the truth is there are others as well. So we take a look at the 13th of the Maamar Kamos. And the 13th of the Maamar Kamos in Gittin and Simon Tav Zayin, there's a Mordechai in Maseches Gittin, where the Mordechai asks the same question. V'yim Taimar, v'heh karina shir seyama pashta kabanos v'esek neses b'yalpeh, v'lo dvarim shibuchsav yata rosh adomim b'yalpeh. The same question that we've been talking about, how in the world could we say, as Yashir, we say Pashas Atomit, Karbanos, we say Shema, we say all these things b'yalpeh, and nobody has any hesitation. V'aymer Rabbeinu Tam says, tahani megres grison, Rabbeinu Tam says, that these psukim are different because everybody is familiar with these psukim. These are common psukim. Who doesn't know these psukim by heart? And therefore, it's okay. What is Rabbeinu Tam saying? What's the rationale for Rabbeinu Tam? So clearly, Rabbeinu Tam is learning that the reason why there's a prohibition of Dvar Shebichsav Yalpeh is for a very, very simple reason. It has nothing to do with fancy lomdus about Maseiros HaTorah. It has nothing to do with Balabatim getting confused. It's a very, very simple, straightforward reason. You're afraid you're going to make a mistake. If we let people say psukim by heart, they're going to distort the psukim. So therefore, says Rabbeinu Tam, if it's a pasuk that most people really don't know, the person's going to start to rattle off all the sons of Bnei Seir, Baal Peh, there's a good chance he's going to mix up Dishons and Dishons, he's going to make some kind of a mistake. But if you let him say, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Lekei Hashem Echad, we hope he's not going to make a mistake. So Rabbeinu Tam says, if it's just a short pasuk that everybody's familiar with, that was never included in the Yisra in the first place.
So how does that work on the flip side? If that explains how you can do Torah Shebichsav Baal Peh. But what about Torah Shebaal Peh?
Right, so Torah Shebaal Peh Bichsav, everyone ultimately has to fall back on the Eis La'asos La'Shem, because that's what the Gemara says. The Gemara says the only way to really justify any of the writing down of Torah Shebaal Peh has to fall back on Eis La'asos La'Shem. So Rabbeinu Tam may argue that in the older days, maybe they didn't take notes. I mean, it was the Rambam's presentation, Estachle took notes. It doesn't say that anywhere in the Gemara. So how did Rabbeinu Tam know that his pshat is right? So he brings a very, very cryptic proof. Rabbeinu Tam, so back to the 13th of the Maamar Kamos. Rabbeinu Tam, the Hani Megres Krisan, that these psukim, which everybody is familiar with, they're okay. Teda, and I'll prove to you that I'm right, says Rabbeinu Tam. The Amridan Tfilin Mezuzas, Nechtovin Shalom and Nechzav, Rishud the Megres Krisan. He references the Gemara Maseches Menachos and the Flamed Beis, where the Gemara says that Tfilin Mezuzas can be written Shalom and Nechzav, because people are familiar with those psukim. What in the world is that, is he referring to? So if you go back to the 11th of the Maamar Kamos, so Gemara, at the end of the line, the Gemara is talking about the writing of the film, the writing of the mezuzahs. So the Gemara says in the middle of the line, V'idi v'idi nichtava shalom erachsav, v'itava megris kurisa. The Gemara tells us that when you write a Sefer Torah, so you can't write a Sefer Torah, write a Sefer Torah, not even talking about I'm reading it, writing a Sefer Torah, the Sofer cannot write by heart. The Sofer cannot say, oh, well, yeah, I know Brejas Bolokim, I have no problem, I'll just start writing. No, you have to have another Sefer Torah in front of you, or Tikkun, you have to have a Chumash, you have to have a text in front of you, and then you have to copy. It's Brejas, part, part. You have to write it word for word from a pre-existing text. But the Gemara says that doesn't apply to the writing of Tefillin and Mezuzahs. Why is that? Very simple. That a Sefer Torah, most people don't know a Sefer Torah by Al-Peh. Most people couldn't say every single word by heart in a Sefer Torah. So if we let the Sofer write without a pre-existing text, he inevitably is going to make a mistake. Whereas when it comes to Tefillin and Mezuzahs, the big deal. Who here doesn't know the parashas of Tefillin and Mezuzahs? Mezuzahs at least. All four parashas of Tefillin, everyone knows by heart. But okay, those who say Kaddish and Ve'ech V'yacha, maybe you know them by heart. But a person, a Sofer, most Sofer already know the psukim of the tefillah, the psukim of the mezuzahs be out there. So therefore the Gemara says, it's okay, it's not a problem. Negres greasy. Since people are familiar with the psukim, they're not going to make mistakes. So the simple reading of Rabbeinu Tam is that all Rabbeinu Tam meant to extrapolate from that Gemara was as follows. Just as vis-a-vis the prohibition of writing Shalom and Ksav, the fact that you're not allowed to write a Sefer Torah without having a text in front of you, we're mevater on that iser. We overlook that iser when it comes to tefillin and mezuzahs because it's so short, because it's so familiar, it's so common, people aren't going to make mistakes. So just as the Gemara says in that sugya of writing a Sefer Torah without a pre-existing text, we're okay if it's a well-known, familiar pasuk. So too, when it comes to the Isser of saying things about that, which Rabbi Natan is learning is also rooted in mistakes, it's the same type of an Isser. So too, when it's something that's very familiar, very short and very familiar, we're okay with that, and we overlook it, and we permit you to say it beyond that. So according to the simple reading of Rabbi Natan, that Gemara Menachos is not talking about our sugya. It's not talking about saying things shalom and aksav. It's talking about writing things shalom and aksav. It's not the identical sugya. All Rabbi Natan meant to say was, just as vis-a-vis the issue of writing shalom and aksav, which is rooted in potential error, we're okay if it's a short parsha, everybody knows. So to this issue, which is also similarly rooted in potential error, we can forgo this issue, we can overcome this issue if it's Megan's reason. So Rabbi Natan never meant to draw an absolute ironclad equation between the two sugyas. He's just simply extrapolating this one point that this is rooted in error and this is rooted in error. But if one wants, one could say perhaps a little bit more in Rabbi Natan. Rabbi Natan himself was really, it was a half a line, it was a Mordechem, so it was five words for Rabbi Natan, so we're not sure exactly what he said. Maybe Rabbi Natan meant a little bit more than this. What is that based on? So if we take a look at the 12th of the Rambam Kavos, there's a very, very famous Machlokes HaTanoim about how to interpret the last eight psukim in the Torah. The Gemara says that the sign we learned in Hebrew, so the 12th of the Rambam Kavos, the Yom HaShemoshe Ever Hashem. So the last eight psukim begin with Moshe's death, which is, of course, an obvious problem. Moshe Rabbeinu is writing the Torah, so he's writing about his own death. Sounds very strange. So, Evshe Moshe Chai, because of Yavash Moshe, Moshe is still alive, and he's writing that Moshe died. It doesn't sound right. So, what does that mean? Ela Adkan Kosav Moshe, Mikad Ve'ela Kosav Yeshua Benun, Divir Rabbi Yehuda Ve'am Rabbi Nechemia. So, a group of Tanoim, either Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Nechemia, these were Tamidim of Rabbi Akiva. So, they concluded that it must be what happened is as follows. That until the point of Yamasha Moshe was Taka written by Moshe Rabbeinu, the last eight psukim were written by Yehoshua. Now it doesn't mean Chas v'Shalom that's not Kedusha the Torah. It doesn't mean that Kedusha Baruch Hu didn't dictate it to Yehoshua. It doesn't mean Yehoshua wrote it on his own. Chalil v'chadad, that's kfir, that's up in curses. For a person to say that somebody added in psukim, added words to the Torah, that's absurd. What it means is that Kedusha Baruch Hu gave Moshe Rabbeinu word for word from Bereishis to right before Yamasha Moshe, and he told him to write it into the Sefer Torah, and then those last eight psukim were not actually written with the pen of Moshe Rabbeinu. They were put into the Sefer Torah by the pen of Yehoshua ben Nun. That's the first opinion in the Tanoim. So Amar Rabbi Shimon. So Rabbi Shimon says, no, that can't be. Efshe Sefer Torah chaser asachas. Is it possible that the Sefer Torah was not complete, that the last eight psukim weren't there? Uchsiv lakoach ha-sefer ha-torah ha-zepesam torah sefer. Back in Parshas Vayelach, already the Sefer Torah is referred to as a Sefer Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu already tells them to take the Sefer Torah and to put it by the Aron. It's already a complete, full-fledged Sefer Torah. They already had a Hakhla Sefer Torah. It was already done. It was complete. So how can you tell me that it was missing the last eight psukim? So what does it mean, says Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai? If the Sefer Torah must have been complete, how could it be that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote it, I was still alive? So Rabbi Shimon says, so what? Ella ad kana kodesh baruch hu omer, Moshe kai sevi omer. So until this point, until Vayamasha Moshe, so the Torah was written in the standard way. It's a Kodesh Baruch Hu said, Bereishis, Moshe wrote Bereishis, etc. Mikan ve'elech, Kodesh Baruch Hu omer, Moshe kai sevi bedema. From this point on, the last day psukim, so Moshe wrote it bidema. Now the word dema is a tricky word. The simple meaning of dema is crying, like the most, like in tears. So Moshe Rabbeinu is writing the Sefer Torah, but he's writing it with tears in his eyes. He's describing his own death. So Moshe kaysev bidema. There are other interpretations of what that phrase means, bidema, but at least the simple reading is the lashon of the most. But notice, when the Gemara describes the difference between the rest of the Torah and the last day psukim, so the Torah says, Ad kana kadosh baruch hu omer, u'moshe kosev va'omer, and afterwards it just says, Moshe kosev, it doesn't say va'omer. So Tosus already points out that it would appear from that word, u'moshe kosev va'omer, that when you write a Sefer Torah, so you have to say the words. When you say the sofer sitting there, so he says writes Bereishis. So before he writes the words Bereishis, he says the word Bereishis. He says Bereishis, and then he writes Bereishis. He says bara, and he writes bara. That's what our practice is. You write a Sefer Torah, so you say the word first, and then you write it. So if that's true, not everybody agrees to that, but if that's true, that the halacha requires that before you write a word, so you have to say the word. So by a Sefer Torah, I understand that, because by a Sefer Torah, remember we said before, you're writing from a pre-existing text. So you have a Sefer Torah in front of you, and now you have a cloth with a new Sefer Torah. So I'm looking. Bereishis. Bara. That I understand. But by tefillin and mezuzahs, there's no text. Remember, tefillin and mezuzahs, the Gemara says, nechtav shalom and aksav. If the sofer is proficient enough to write tefillin and mezuzahs, if he knows the psukim b'al peh, he need not look into a text. So if he need not look into a text, but wait a second, but doesn't he have to pronounce the word? Doesn't he have to say the word before he writes it? So how is that happening? So bishlama, I understand by Sefer Torah, when he's reading out of the Sefer Torah, so he's reading out of a text and writing in another text. But in tefillin and mezuzahs, where there is no pre-existing text, and he's still saying the words, so imagine he's writing the Parashat Kaddish. So he sits down, takes out a blank piece of cloth, takes out his pen, gets ready, hinim mukhulun l'shem kudushas tefillin, and he says, vayedaber, and he writes down vayedaber. Hashem, he writes on Hashem. Wait a second. He's saying psukim, shalom and eksav. There's no text there. How could that be? So Rabbi Natan says, it must be the reason why it's okay is because, it's so short and everyone's familiar with the psukim, he's not going to make a mistake. You see from here, says Rabbi Natan, that you're allowed to say psukim b'al peh as long as you're familiar with the psukim. So according to this new version of Rabbi Natan, Rabbi Natan is not comparing and saying, just as you're allowed to write without a text, you're allowed to say without a text. Rabbi Natan is saying, it says that in the Gemara. That's exactly what the Gemara says. By telling you that you're writing without a text, that is the equivalent of saying you're speaking without a text also. Because since every writing of a tefillin, mezuzah, sefer Torah, etc. requires a recitation of the psukim first, because Moshe only the kaysev, you have to say the psukim first, and the Gemara is saying that's okay, but tefillin and mezuzah, that's fine, that's okay, there's no problem. So you see from here clearly that isser of saying things beyond that, so about is off the charts, off the radar screen. We're not worried about it anymore. And the reason why we're not worried about it is because it is Megres Grison. So again, whether Rabbi Natan meant to compare one area to another, or whether Rabbi Natan saw in that Gemara an exact discussion of our topic, at the end of the day, Rabbi Natan is the same. Rabbi Natan says, when it comes to something that people are familiar with, you don't have to worry about it. It's okay. The Isser doesn't apply. So we have multiple reasons now to defend the Minig Yisrael of why we say Pesukim Yal Peh. We say Shema Yal Peh. We say Brichas Konim Yal Peh. We say Parshat Kabbalas Yal Peh. People do it all right and left. People say Pesukim Yal Peh. And the Gemara is screaming at us, Devarim Shebichsav, Iyata Rosh Hashanah Yal Peh. How do we defend that practice? So either we go down the route of Tosfos and Temura, that as long as you're not Motzi Achei Midei Chavasam, for whatever reason that distinction is, it's okay. Or we go down the route of Rabbeinu Tam, that whenever it's Megres Grison, which is very, very popular, familiar psukim, no fear of any mistake, so then it's permissible. So we have two very, very different approaches to solve the same problem. There is a third approach to solve this problem, a very, very lumdish approach, which appears in the Talmid Rabbeinu Yonah on the 14th of the Maamar Kamos. So Rabbeinu Yonah is addressing the Mishnah in Maseches Brachos. A very famous Mishnah tells us that if a person wakes up too late and they basically miss Zman Kriya Shema. So according to most opinions, if one says Kriya Shema after the Zman, so min haTorah you're not really yotzei. The Torah says of Kumecha, and of Kumecha means the time when normal people are still getting up. So in the days of the Torah, so it was still considered to be normal for people to get up for the first 3 hours. Most people were up already way before that. But since there were some people who were still getting up till 3 hours into the day, the B'nai Malachim, the Mishnah says the princes, would still drain in bed till 9 o'clock in the morning. So that's still considered to be within the realm, within the parameters of Kumecha. After that, by 11 o'clock in the morning, you know, one Meshugan is getting up, that's not called of Kumecha anymore. And therefore, according to most opinions, Min HaTorah, that would be too late for the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. So the Mishnah says, what if a person overslept, forgot to say Shema on time? So he should still say Shema. Lo hifsid kar makar b'Torah. It's like he's just stam saying psukim. So that's okay. He lost out the mitzvah of Isaac Krishma, but he shouldn't feel that he's accomplishing nothing. So Rabbeinu Yonah, in the 14th of Maamar Kamos, raises the question, V'yesh lishol, ma bala hashbi'enu, shlo hifsit karam shakar b'Torah. So what is the Lashon HaMishnah? Very, very strange Lashon. It's like reading psukim. I don't know it's reading psukim. I don't know shmas from Parshas Vaschanan. What do you mean? It's karam shakar b'Torah. It's obvious that it's lohivsit kar makar b'Torah. V'tira t'rav Rabbi Shlomo min Ahar zal. So Rabbi Shlomo min Ahar had the following suggestion. One of the Rishonim who came from Provence, from southern France, Rabbi Shlomo min Ahar said, the aslash v'inan, that the Mishnah is addressing the following dilemma. Sha'af al-pi she'dvarim she'bichsav lo nitnu l'amun al-peh. The Mishnah is actually addressing our sugya. Under normal circumstances, dvarim she'bichsav cannot be said b'al-peh. And normally, just to open up, start rambling, Parshas Bereishis b'al peh would be a real problem. But Kriyat Shema is okay. Kriyat Shema yachal kros b'al peh. Why are you allowed to read Kriyat Shema b'al peh? Even though right now you're not saying Kriyat Shema, right now it's too late for Kriyat Shema. The kaven shenitna laomra al peh lechova yachal yama filu shlo lechova kalapam shiyurtze. So Rabbi Yonah quotes from Menachem Shlomo Nahar that says, since sometimes you're saying it as a mitzvah, even though right now it's past the zman, that's also okay. Sisrei Torah, what does that mean? What's Rabbi Shlomo Nahar talking about? So it's clear for Rabbi Shlomo Nahar that he's developing the following yisod. This isser of saying psukim b'al peh, this means that you're not allowed to learn b'al peh. Torah wants that when you learn Torah, you learn a certain tzura. Torah Shabbat Peh should be B'Yapeh, Torah Shabbat Chsav should be B'Chsav. That's the tzura of Limud HaTorah. Before we said the tzura of Mesirus HaTorah, now we're saying the tzura of Limud HaTorah. It's a private thing. According to B'Shlomo Nahar ben Yonah, this issur is in full force, even for yourself. Nothing to do with other people. You're not supposed to learn a different manner than the Torah was given to us. Torah Shabbat Chsav was given B'Chsav, it should remain B'Chsav. B'Yapeh should remain B'Yapeh. However, sometimes you have psukim that are not just psukim as part of Talmud Torah. There are certain psukim that are given to us as Maisa Mitzvahs. There are certain psukim that have two roles to them, two functions to them. They are Torah. Let's say if a person would sit down and learn the parasha of Birchas Kohanim. He happens to be learning these psukim and parashas Naso in Chumash today, and he's sitting and learning. He knows these psukim. He's learning the psukim of Torah as Limud. So great, that's a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. An hour later, if he happens to be a Kohen who's getting up in Duchening, he's saying the identical psukim. Those psukim are being said b'toras mitzvah. They're not being said b'toras learning. They're being done b'toras mitzvah. We spoke a little bit last night in this year about the differences between limud Torah and mitzvahs. So if a person is learning Parshas Vaschanan, that's called learning. If a person is saying Kriyashma to fulfill the mitzvah, Shachov Kamecha, that's called saying Kriyashma. That's not necessarily called learning. And the two are separate and distinct from one another. Says Rabbi Shlomo Nahar, the only time that the prohibition of saying psukim b'al peh exists is only when you're doing it b'toras limud. When I'm opening a parashas Bereishis and learning Bereishis, that I have to do b'chsav, not b'al peh. But when I'm duchening, when I'm saying Kriyat Shema, I'm not learning. I'm davening. I'm saying psukim. I'm doing a mitzvah. Mitzvahs can be done even shlomo nechsav. So now Rabbi Shlomo Nahar has a chiddush gadol. He says, what if it's the same pasuk that sometimes is limud and sometimes is mitzvah? So let's say you have Birchas Kohanim. So every once in a while, Birchas Kohanim is limud. Every once in a while, it's mitzvah. Says in Shlomo Nahar, once a pasuk or a series of psukim is mufka, is no longer part of that isser. Once it's been separated and distinct, and it doesn't apply, the isser doesn't apply when it's being done b'toras mitzvah, those psukim are removed from the isser. The isser isn't teifes, it's in chal dos psukim. You just have to identify, is there any ma'isa mitzvah that's involved in these psukim? So 99% of the Torah, there's no ma'isa mitzvah. There's never a mitzvah to get up and say Bereishis. There's never a mitzvah to get up and read the descendants of Esav. Those are not mitzvahs, that's Talmud Torah. So psukim that are pure Talmud Torah, that only can serve as a role of Talmud Torah, those psukim have to be said dafka minaksav. But psukim that double, that sometimes wear the hat of Torah, and sometimes wear the hat of mitzvahs, so even when they're not wearing the hat of mitzvahs, even then it's mutter, because these psukim are the exception to the rule. The Torah is motzi these psukim from the klal. So that's what the Mishnah says in Brachas. When you say Shema as a mitzvah, you woke up on time, you're saying Kriyat Shema about 7:30 in the morning, so of course you could say that, Shalom Aleksav, because you're not learning Torah, you're saying, you're doing a mitzvah. Doing mitzvah, Shalom Aleksav is mutter. But when you're doing it with Torah's limud, it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon, you overslept, and now you're learning Karba Torah. So I would have thought that you have to open up a Sefer Torah and read it. Kamash v'lon Rabbeinu Shlomo Nahar, since these psukim are no longer part of the general category of Dvarim Shebichsav Yitav HaShalom Yom Peh, even if you personally are doing it with Torah's limud, that's also okay. That's right. That's right. I mean, whether you could be Yotze the mitzvah or not is a different story. It could be that the fulfillment of the mitzvah Parshas Zachor may require Sefer Torah. That's a different story. But there would be no Isser. Right? According to Rabbi Shlomo Nahar, you find the pasuk that's mitzvah oriented. So I'll find your Kriyas Mikra Bikurim and Parshas Achalitza and Birchas Kohanim and Kriyas Shema. So you dig up any pasuk that serves as a mitzvah. As long as it sometimes serves as a mitzvah, then the Isser falls by the wayside. That's the Chiddush Gadol of Rabbi Shlomo Nahar. And now, Shlomo Nahar goes and found you another series of psukim, which are more startling than all the examples I just gave you. Umizeh atam, he continues, hiskiru loma parshas karbonos al peh b'chol yom, says that the reason why we say parshas atomid, we say parshas karbonos every day b'al peh, we've never heard of anybody being makbid, you have to dafka say it, b'azam yitach eksav. Why is that? Because the recitation of parshas karbonos also falls into that category of psukim, which are more mitzvah-oriented, and they're not pure limud-oriented. Why? Because there's a mitzvah to say parshas karbonos. Now that's already a little bit shakier ground. So bishlama kriya shma, it's a mitzvah, and therefore once it's a mitzvah, it's excluded from this prohibition. That I got. It says in the tchumish b'shachov kamecha. You want to say that tzvar for biches konim, I got that also. You want to say it for parshas chalitza, you even want to say for parshas zocha, all those things I'll concede to you. Parshas karbonos, Bishday, where does it say, say Pashta Tomid every day? Doesn't say that in Chumash. So now, for a bit of Shlomo and Ahar's Pshat to assist us in defending the practice of saying Karbonos, so he's going down the same line of reasoning, but he's got a lot to prove to us. He has to prove to us that there exists some kind of a model, some kind of a mitzvah in the Torah of Amiras Pashta Karbonos. If he can identify for us such a mitzvah, then he could extend it and say, well, once we've identified it as sometimes b'toras mitzvah, even if you personally are learning it, maybe that would be okay, but he's got to find that mokor. So he's not going to find that mokor in Tosh B'Ksav. Doesn't say that in the Chumash anyway, say Pashat Tomit every day. So he has to do a little bit of work for that. So hopefully, Metz Hashem on Friday, we'll have to see where Rabbeinu Shlomo Nahar found that mitzvah of Amiras Pashat Kabanas, which puts it into this whole format. Therefore, it's a mitzvah rather than limud, and therefore becomes permissible. So it's going to be this whole approach of Shlomo Nahar that's going to be, in a sense, the third defense of our practice. So at the end of the day, everybody's saying psukim yalpeh, right and left, whether we're going down Tyson Tamura's route, that we're not being motzi cherem, we're going down the Rabbeinu Tam's route, that's Megar's Grison, or we're going down the route of Rabbeinu Yonah, Rabbeinu Shlomo Nahar, that it's b'toras mitzvah, not b'toras limud. Each one of these defenses is going to stand on their own. Hopefully we have to just finish up with Rabbeinu Shlomo Nahar on Friday, and then try to see just possible enough Kaminas Ladina, how this plays out for us Lamaisa. Then we have more to do still. The Sugi is still going strong, so hopefully on Friday we'll get the next step into this.